Our scripture today comes from the book of 1 Corinthians, chapter 1, verses 26 to 31. Pull this down here. All right. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for this glorious day that we can be together with one another, be together with you. We thank you for your word, which you have given to us, and we ask you, Lord, that our hearts, our minds are ready to receive it, that your light might shine in our lives, that you may give us healing where we need it, that we may be more yours and trust you all the more. Lord, we thank you. We thank you for this moment, and we pray also for your mercy to be upon the sermon, that it too may be pleasing and used by you. We thank you, and we pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 26 and 31. Hear now God's word. Consider your own call, brothers and sisters. Not many of you were wise by human standards. Not many were powerful. Not many were noble birth. But God chose what is foolish in the world to shame the wise. I'm coming. All right, you're excited for the rest. I am too. All right. Oh, that's what happened. It's my fault. Now, there it goes. All right. God chose what is weak in the world to shame the strong. God chose what is low and despised in the world, things that are not, to abolish things that are, so that no one might boast in the presence of God. In contrast, God is why you are in Christ Jesus, who became for us wisdom from God and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, in order that, as it is written, let the one who boasts, boast in the Lord. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. I'm going to date some of us here. If you are referred to as a Monica, what is someone referring to you as? How many of you know Monica? How many of you watch Friends? Friends fans, okay. Friends here and there. Well, I don't know. You raise your hand as you watch Friends. You may not be a fan of Friends, but if you're a Monica, what attributes do you have? Well, I know you know the answer. You are, that's true. You're competitive. Monica's extremely competitive at everything. She wants to win, regardless of what it is. Could be chess, tic-tac-toe, could be who wakes up earliest in the morning, or who goes to sleep the latest, or who wakes up the latest, whatever it is, she just wants to win. Now, that competitive spirit can be a lot of fun, and in our lives, we know people who are extremely competitive. Some of you may be anyone like a competitive person. Anyone love being competitive? A couple. Yeah. I know you're there. How many of you just like playing games? And you don't care if you win or lose, but you like to win. Yeah. There is a game for you out there that you can be competitive. People love this game and devote their lives to it and research hours and hours and hours and hours and hours and hours and hours on end. And it's called fantasy football. People spend money to play this game, and what they do is that they pick a team. It's fantasy, right? And you have fantasy money, imaginary money, that you can draft your team from all the players of all the NFL in that season. There are limits, and you play against other make-believe teams out there, and that's exciting. Some people love it. I personally never really got into it. My wife, wherever she might be, Stephanie loves fantasy football. There's an important part about fantasy football, and it's the draft, the making of the team. Now, we all know about what it means to make a team. How many of you have been captain and had to choose your teammates? Anyone? Gym class, anybody? No one's ever captain in gym class? Has anyone ever picked for a team? Man, if you've never been picked for a team, then you've got to do something in your life. Being picked for the team is one of the most demoralizing experiences that helps to build character. When you pick for a team, what is your goal? To win. You want to have the best team possible to give your team the chance to win. Because, of course, it's not just about you. It's about everyone else on your team. You don't want to let your team down, so you want to pick the best on that team. And I want to say this happens in life always. We think the hiring process is. Someone's trying to pick the best person for their team. It's competitive out there. Anyone know that picture? The Mighty Ducks with Coach Bombay. He didn't really get to pick his team. His team was picked for him, and it was not the best team in the world. He made do with the best team that he had, and he did a fairly good job with it. Now, if I were to pick something maybe more generational, maybe I should have picked something like the Bad News Bears. Maybe you would have recognized them a little more. But Mighty Ducks was during my time. Now, God picks teams too, you know. All throughout history, God has chosen people and used people. And and we're going to pretend for a moment that God, who is the owner, has made us manager, and we have to choose between two teams. The first team we're going to choose between is this team. This is our first choice, and these are real people that we just get their description. We have a mighty warrior, a good shepherd, one who has freed the oppressed. We have one who walked with God. We got another who has freed the oppressed. We have one who had followed God. We got another who has freed the oppressed. We have one who gave God their future, one who tore down an idol. We have one who depended on God's future, not their future. We have one who trusted God's word, one who held on to the promise, one who followed the path, one who knew God had it, and one who led. That's a pretty good team. They can do a lot. Now, our second team that we have to choose from is this one. Now, our first candidate is a murderer. Our second candidate is a murder victim. We have a bandit chief, a child of a murderer. We have an immature partier. I don't know why, but the name Chad comes to mind in this one. We have a drunk. We have someone who is extremely timid. We have one whose fear often ruled their life. We have a runt of runts. Not just the runt, but the runt of the runts. We have one who just kind of lived in obscurity. We have a foreign prostitute. We have a liar and a swindler. We have one who yearned for the past. He's always looking back. We have a stuck-up brat. And a pampered murderer. Not just a common murderer, but a pampered murderer. Now, these are the two teams you have to choose from. To follow God. To serve God. To love God. To make a difference in this world. Those are your choices. Now, what team do you want? Of course, you should know me enough that there's something more to this than I mean, you're already probably guessing it. This is the same team. They are the same people. The first person, we're going to start in the upper left-hand corner of each chart. So this mighty warrior corresponds with murderer. Good shepherd corresponds with murder victim. They're all from the Bible. Mighty warrior and murderer. Who are we recruiting? David. That is David. A good shepherd and a murder victim. Who are we recruiting? What's that? Not quite. Our team's good, but not that good. Abel, the brother of Cain. One who freed the oppressed and was a bandit chief. You may not know this guy. No, this is, I'll give you a hint. He's one of the judges. They're sort of lesser known. You may know him better for sacrificing his daughter, Jephthah. This is Jephthah. One who walked with God and is descendant from a murderer. This one's a little stretch from the descendant from a murderer. We don't know much about him. Enoch. Enoch walked with God and then was no more. And he was from the direct line of Cain. Another one who freed the oppressed and was an immature partier. Rebel rouser, carouser. And he had the best party hair. Samson. One who followed God. One who followed God and was a drunk. Noah. It was Noah. One who freed the oppressed. Again, a judge. Just give you a hint. And was extremely timid. He was told, go out and do this thing. And he said, but I want you to go with me. So they did. Probably don't know this one, but his name is Barak, B-A-R-A-K. Here's another one. This person gave God his entire future, and yet fear often ruled his life. Elijah, Abraham. Every time Abraham went into a large city, he was afraid for himself and pretended his wife was someone whom she wasn't. This one tore down idols, and yet he was the least born of the least tribe, the runt of runts. He also asked God to prove himself over and over again with fleece. You may know him better that way. He too was a judge. Gideon. He is Gideon. This one depended on God's future. Not dependent on his own future, but he did depend on God's future, but he also lived in obscurity. He really didn't do much. Kind of just sat back, lived his life, didn't rock any boats, didn't do anything special. But he is one of the big three. The God, our God is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. This is Isaac. You know, we know a lot about Abraham. We know a lot about Jacob, but Isaac's story is very, very short. Excuse me. This one trusted God's word implicitly, knew if God said it, it would happen. They were also a foreign prostitute. Rahab. This one was Rahab. This one held on to the promise, held on to it strongly, helped him through his life, and his life was full of rockiness. But he too was a liar and a swindler.
couldn't trust them as far as you could throw them. He swindled those closest to him. He was a mama's boy. Not that that's a bad thing. Jacob. Jacob. Jacob lied to his brother Esau. Stole his birthright. Lied to his father. Listened to his mother and everything. This one followed the path. Wherever it led, they went. But they also yearned for the past. Always, always, constantly looking back. This is not a person. This is a people. This is Israel. God chose the people and they went. But they complained every single step of the way. This one knew God had it. Whatever it was. Whatever was happening in life. Whatever was going to happen, this person trusted God fully and completely, but they were a stuck-up brat. Daddy's favorite, and they flaunted it between their brothers all the time. Joseph and his many technicolor dream coat. Boy, he loved being daddy's pet, and when he had dreams about his brothers bowing down before him, he told his brothers every day, I had this dream where you will bow down to me. This one led. So it's a short word, three letters, but he fulfilled it in its grandest. He led to the impossible. He led through the impossible. He led in every sense of the word. And yet, he was a pampered murderer. Moses. Moses was found in a basket, raised in the rich, lush lifestyle of royalty, murdered, ran away, didn't want to do it, ignored God for a bit, made excuses. And even in the midst of his leading, he still sometimes let his anger get the best of him. This is God's dream team. This is the people that God, who is the fantasy football coach of all fantasy football coaches, God can pick from history any person in the entire world, and these are the ones God picks. And not only are these the ones God picks, but these are God's MVPs. These made God's Hall of Fame. These ones are the very ones listed in Hebrews chapter 11, which we call Faith's Hall of Fame. These are the ones that we look back on and say they believed in God completely. These are the ones we want to grow up and be like. A murderer. One who didn't do much in his life. A runt, a bandit chief. I've heard it said that God doesn't call the equipped. God equips the called. That God doesn't want you for your talent. God wants you. And that's it. God wants you. God loves you for who you are. For the fact that God created you and there is nothing else. No other qualifications. The thing that each of these people gave to God is merely their availability. Nothing more. God said, I want you. And they said, all right. Sometimes they had stipulations. Sometimes they had excuses. Sometimes they had change of hearts, change of minds. And yet God still used them. Scripture that we read today gives me great hope that God uses the weak to shame the strong. uses the foolish to shame the wise. It's not about knowing everything. It's not about having the right words. It's not about being strong or being the fastest or the greatest or the most eloquent in speech. It's about being available. It's about saying yes, even if it comes out very, very tiny. Oh, God uses our personal gifts. Only you can be you, and only you can do you like you can. And God takes advantage of that. But first, we have to be available. So I pray. I pray that when God calls, that we don't make the excuses. And if we see God call someone else, we don't make the excuses, why them, Lord? But we say instead, Lord, you've got a house full of them. So why not one other? Because God wants them all. And that's such an exciting thing to be a part of. And I rejoice that by God's grace, I and we are part of that. We close with this final word today. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all, now and forever. Amen and amen. Go in peace.